A friend of mine, Lou Gambino, played for the Baltimore Colts in the early 50s. That was the days when football was football. I mean, oftentimes there was no face guards, and individuals played the sport because they really were passionate about it, they loved it, and oftentimes had other occupations. And Lou was an outstanding running back for the Baltimore Colts. In his later years, he was in other occupation, other business, but he still maintained that tremendous football posture, you know, that almost like no neck, you know, from somebody who was carrying the ball and hitting the line a lot. And then he had that, you know, a tremendous physique. And when I met him, he was in his late 50s, and I was friends with him till he passed away in his 70s. And he always had that strength about him. And he was a lector at Mass, and no one read the Old Testament better than Lou Gambino. Now, the New Testament with the readings of St. Paul with the love of God, it was a little tougher, because then he had that hard voice, you know, that hard voice. Well, Lou was returning from Europe with his wife after they had vacationed there, and they got on a plane with a group of sisters who were returning from Lourdes. And, of course, Lou's heart would go out to the sisters. Whenever he would see sisters, you know, what his heart would just go out to him. He was a kid who went to Catholic grammar school, and all his life he just had this wonderful affection for sisters and for priests. And when Lou was on the airplane, one of the little sisters said, looked up, and she's trying to reach over the top compartment to get something down, and Lou, of course, jumps up, says, "Let me help you, sister." And she says, "Oh, it's that package over there." And of course, in the package were 3-gallon jugs of water from Lourdes. He said, "Sister, let me help you out. I'll help you and take it. And so I'll carry that for you." And then sister looked at him and smiled, and she says, "And that one too, and that one too, and that one too." So poor Lou became like almost a pack mule coming off of that plane, carrying all these gallon jugs of water from Lourdes. It took sister right to the gate where some people were meeting her, and sister reached over and she grabbed a gallon jug of water from Lourdes and gave it over to Lou. She says, "Here at Lourdes water," she says, "Mr. Gambino, I want you to have this. Thank you so much." So Lou, of course, perspiring, he grabs the jug of water and takes it home, and he tells his wife, Vivian, you know, this is, sister had given this to them, and they were going to use it as a blessing in their house. Well, Lou placed it in his room, and it happened that a few days later, he started to have a raspy throat. Ah, Lou's a great believer in the miraculous power of the waters of Lourdes. So he takes a glass and he pours a glass of water out of the jug, and he drinks it, and then he takes the water and he blesses himself. The next day he did the same thing. The third day, the water had returned to the top. Lou is stepping back. He doesn't know what to do, who to talk to, what to do. So he repeats again what he did. He drank 2 of the little glasses, small glasses, and sure enough, again, the water returned to the top. He is now filled with the sense of the miraculous, and he runs over to his wife, Vivian. He says, "Vivian, you're not going to believe it." He said, the water jug. She said, "What is it, Lou?" "The water jug. What is it, Lou?" "The water jug went down almost a third, and now it's filled to the top." And she said, "Of course." She says, "I put tap water inside it as it goes down to make sure we preserve the blessing of the Lord's water." Crestfallen was Lou. I say that because we're taking a look at the miraculous today. We're dealing with the multiplication of the fishes and the loaves. And for some people, we can approach it in a very simple faith. I do. I have no problem. This is the Son of God. If he wants to multiply loaves and fishes, he can multiply loaves and fishes, and he can do so without my concern about how he does it. He can do it. My faith is a simple faith, and I'm thankful to God for it, and I can embrace it without worry. But I also study scripture and also study commentators, and there are others who want to know how it was done. Well, there are those that approach that text and say, well, it shouldn't be taken literally, it should be taken figuratively. And in that, we can see immediately in the figurative aspect that what's happening is there is a sacramentalization of the action of Jesus. That when each of us approaches the Lord, we are satisfied with even the little he gives us. And we are filled to satisfaction. We can understand that. Sacramentalization. We can understand that. We can understand that even from the Eucharist. Here it is. We come and we approach the Lord Jesus Christ, his body, his blood, that host, which is very small, comes into our lives, and literally when our understanding that we are receiving Jesus himself, he satisfies our entire life. Satisfies us with the knowledge of his presence in and through us. And in that sacramentalization, we are able to take that Jesus into the world. Then there's a third approach which individuals will take. You know, when we were reading this gospel, we realize that the crowd, and Jesus goes out to a deserted place, and the crowds follow him into a deserted place. Well, when people would leave on a journey, they would take those provisions sometimes necessary to eat, you know, because they knew they were going to be gone for a lengthy period of time. And there are those that approach the text by saying that in Jesus' person, in his preaching, that he so changed the hearts of people that they took what they had and they began to share it with others. So did even this large crowd, well over 5,000, are fed where? By the largesse and the charity and the understanding of the people who are now called to reach out to their brothers and sisters in need. Now, whichever way you want to approach this gospel, you have to understand that the very basis and the source of it is Jesus. And when we're taking a look at the very first reading, when we take a look at that reading from Isaiah, we must realize that when we're talking about this superabundance, all you are thirsty, come to the water. You have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without paying, without cost, drink wine and milk. This superabundance of almost a festive type of understanding comes from the hope that is fulfilled in Jesus, hope that is fulfilled in God, the Lord. And here is the prophet Isaiah talking to the Israelites who are in captivity, giving them hope and trust in God, who is the source of all their strength, the source of everything they do. And then, of course, we come to St. Paul in the Romans, text which I love immediately. The second line after brothers and sisters, what will separate us from the love of God? Tell me, look into your own hearts. No matter what suffering any of us have undergone, what will separate us from the love of God? And then Paul goes on to tell the Romans and to explicate a number of things, from the height of heights, from angels and principalities and thrones and dominations, all the way to our earthly distresses. None of it will separate us from the love of God. The love of God is a constant in all of our lives, an affirmation of who we are, the very source of the dignity in our lives. Well, when we take a look at this, now we jump over to the gospel, and we could see immediately two things that happen. Well, a multitude of things that happen, but two things I want to point out to you that happen. First of all, Jesus is undergoing his own sorrow. It starts off by saying, when Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, it's his cousin. Go back and kind of take a look at the life of John the Baptist, and you will see an individual who was called as the precursor of Jesus, one who was going to proclaim the Messiah. Go back again in your minds to the gentle confrontation and encounter of Mary and Elizabeth. And what's happening at that time? Literally, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumps and leaps for joy at the presence of the Lord Jesus. There is an immediate connection. You know, there's an immediate aspect. This is a relative of Jesus, his cousin. But on top of it, this is one whom God destined to prepare all of us the way for Jesus. And now it's his death. Of course, we know he was beheaded. So it had to be a tremendous sorrow in Jesus' life. So he withdrew to a place that was deserted. But you know how it is, and that's with all of us. You know, our problems are our problems. And the people, in terms of looking to Jesus as the solution, they're not considering the fact that he's in sorrow. They're bringing their needs to him. Most of us, what would we say? Get away. Give me some peace. I'll handle you tomorrow. I'll take your concerns at some time, but not this Jesus here in the gospel, not our Jesus. Our Jesus' passion is to meet the needs of those who come to him. Heart of Christianity. Heart of the source of who we are. To meet the needs of our brothers and sisters. To meet the needs. So there is already within our God a love and passion for us that's there. Who will separate us from that love? Certainly not God. And certainly not those things of this world, because God will always be present to us. His love will always be present. And then we take a look at the moment of the connection in terms of the spiritual life for all of us. We don't have anything. The only thing we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we have. But we take what we have, and what happens? We turn it over to the Lord. Key for us in the spiritual life. Key to understanding how we are always connected to the Lord God and to his love. What we have is turned over, what little we have is turned over to Jesus. And in what little we have, being turned over to Jesus multiplies. Multiplies in such numerous ways that we cannot even begin to fathom. We can't even begin to fathom how in and through the Lord we are touching others by reaching out in his love to our brothers and sisters in his name. What little we have given over to the Lord becomes an example and source and witness of the love of Jesus in this world. And therefore then we are called to love others in his name. The miracle of the multiplication continues on and on and on. It is experienced here in the sacramental life that we have as we approach and are satisfied in the taking of the bread and the wine, which is his flesh and his blood. The great miracle of transformation and the multiplication of loaves literally is seen in Jesus becoming one with that which is given to us in communion. The miracle is seen as we take that, understanding the great generosity, our hearts are changed, and we go out into the world. And even in the small acts of kindness we extend to one another, even in that generosity, the Lord will use that to multiply his love for all of our community. God bless all of you for being part of the miracle. God bless all of you for giving what you have and turning it over to the Lord so that he may use it to proclaim his constant care, passion, and love for us all. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.